come to the table, and we'll be coming in just a little while. That was a wonderful song, and it really contains the message that we want to give today. The scripture today is from Mark's Gospel, the 14th chapter, verses 22 through 25. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after blessing it, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink from the fruit of the vine until I drink it new in that day when the kingdom comes." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It's this scripture that we see Jesus in the upper room instituting what we call Holy Communion. It's why we do this. We do this in remembrance of Him. And today I have a message based on four words. The four words that you heard in the scripture. Jesus took a loaf of bread. First word that we're going to concentrate on today is take. In the scripture, after he took a loaf of bread, what did he do with it? He blessed it. So the second word that we're going to focus in on today is blessing. Jesus took a loaf of bread, blessed it, and then did what? He broke it. So we're going to talk a little bit about break. And then the fourth word, the final word that we'll focus in on today is after Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, he gave it to them. These four words, take, bless, break, and give, are four words that describe our life as disciples of Christ. We are to be the bread of Christ given to the world. And these four words, take, bless, break, and give, describe our life as a disciple of Jesus Christ. The first word, take. There is a line in the song, "The Rose," that goes something like this. "It is the one who won't be taken who cannot seem to give." What does that mean? The one who cannot be taken who cannot seem to give. Sometimes we don't allow ourselves to be taken. Sometimes we don't allow ourselves to be loved. Even when we are loved, we need to allow ourselves to be loved, to be taken. A better word might be chosen. And that's who we are. Each of us are chosen to come to this table. We're chosen to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We're not chosen at the exclusion of others, but we are chosen because Jesus sees something in us that he loves, that he admires, that he has placed there in us. We need to be reminded of our chosenness. We need to be reminded that we are loved. We live in a world so often that does not choose, but excludes. you're out on the playground and they're choosing up sides. And choose him, choose her, choose him, choose her. And then the teams are all formed. And you see a couple of people on the sidelines. One of those persons may have been you at one time or may be you now. It's not a good feeling to know that somehow or another we live in a world that so often does not choose us for whatever reason. But today I want to tell you some good news. Don't ever forget that you are chosen. And one of my breath prayers that I pray, I need to pray it more often to remind myself. One of the breath prayers that I pray is, Abba, Father, I belong to you. No matter what is going on in my day, no matter what I've done right, what I've done wrong, whether I've been a mess that day or I lived gloriously, I need to be reminded that, you know what, I belong. Abba, Father, I belong to you. So often when the world does not seek to reach out to me, I need to let that go. Because Abba, Father, I know I belong to you. That's the first thing. You need to allow yourself to be taken. That word is an important word today as we come to the table. You have a place at the table. Second word is bless. The word bless comes from the Latin word benedicere, from which we get the word benediction. And the word benediction means to speak well of or to speak good words over someone. Of course, that's what we do at the end of the service, benediction. Good words are spoken over the congregation as they depart. Blessing. He blessed the bread. I love that story when Jesus took the little children in his arms, held them up, and blessed them. As an example of what he wants to do for each of us. And Jesus blessed them with the spoken word, with the word of touch. And I believe he looked in those little children's eyes, and I believe he said something about what he saw in them, and also something about a bright future that he envisioned for them. That's what it means to bless someone. It is the power of the spoken word, the power of touch, the power of affirmation, of seeing good in another, and also of seeing what they yet can become and a bright future for them. We too live in a world that does not bless us, but it sometimes curses us. And so often, whether we know it or not, we're living under the curse. You can't do that. You don't deserve that. We practice self-rejection. Why? Because we don't remember our chosenness. We don't allow ourselves to be taken. And also because we don't know that Christ wants to bless us, but he does, just like those little children. So today, when we come to the table, we're reminded that he blesses us. He speaks over us good things. The power of affirmation. If you're a teacher, you know that. You see a student who's struggling. You don't need to remind them of what they can't do. You need to remind them of what they can do. Affirmation can bring out the best. Here today at this table, we're blessed. Broken. It's hard to talk about broken, but here's how I want to mention it today very briefly. All of us are broken. All of us have known brokenness. Some of our brokenness is visible, some of our brokenness is invisible. But at one time or another, we have all been broken. And there's really not a whole lot of good about being broken except this. But sometimes it's only in our brokenness that we learn utter dependence upon God's grace and mercy and goodness. And we learn how to depend on God as we hand him the pieces, as we hand him our hearts, as we hand him our minds. St. Augustine said this, I pity the man who has never been broken. Because it's until you've been broken that you do not truly know the mercy of God, the grace of God, and the love of God. And you live it out, your life, on your own. A broken and contrite spirit thou wilt not despise, O God. Somehow or another, here's what we do as disciples of Christ with our brokenness, is we bring it underneath the blessing. And we say, here is the mess. Here are the broken pieces. Here is my brokenness. I will not try to hide it anymore. I will bring it out into the light and say, here it is. Doesn't look too good. I may not want to show it to Joe, but God, I'm going to show it to you because I'm putting it underneath your blessing and I need never run from my pain again. Once I have placed it before you to be blessed and taken into your own heart and into you upon the cross as you bear all my brokenness upon your body. We bring it under the blessing, and somehow or another, our brokenness is redeemed. I don't understand it, but I've experienced it. But broken is important. And so, taken, blessed, broken, and the last word is given. And this is the whole purpose of it all. Because why? Because I said we are to become bread given for the world. We are to be given away to others. We are not to live our life for ourselves any longer, but for Christ who has called us and to live it for our neighbors, to live it for others. We are taken, blessed, broken to be given. Given to help others claim their belovedness. We're sent out into the world to bless. We are among the wounded healers of the world that Christ uses to bring healing and wholeness to others. It's amazing. Henry Nouwen said, so often healing comes through the wounded healers. The hurts, the brokenness, the pain that God has redeemed, he rechannels into means of grace for others. Because the person who comes alongside you that can show you the scars can also show you the healing. We are taken, blessed, broken in order to be given. What does that look like? Here's what it should look like. In John Wesley's day, there were a lot of people who came for communion, but they only came to communion in the church because that was the only place you were supposed to have it. But John Wesley knew there were coal miners out there who at 5:30 in the morning were slaving away. They couldn't make it to church. Every day they'd be down there risking their lives for themselves and for their families and so often on the bottom rung of society and the economic level. And so John Wesley said, I am given to the world. And so as early as 5:30 in the mornings, John Wesley could be seen going down into the coal mines to take communion to the coal miners. We are given to the world. We're to go. We're to be sent into the world, into those places where people need to experience God's grace. It's those who have experienced God's grace, like John Wesley, like me and like many of you, it's those who have experienced God's grace truly, who know what it means, it's those who truly want to make sure that others receive it as well. And so we go out and we give ourselves to others. And what does that mean? That means that you can go places I can't go. You can go into the schools and be a teacher. You can go into the business world and be a co-worker or an employee or an employer. You can go places, and in many ways you can give yourself to the people in those settings. You see, we are the church gathered here in worship, and then we're the church scattered into the world. And everybody has a sphere of influence. Everybody has a context of ministry. Everybody can give themselves to others somewhere all over the world. And so today, we think about what it means to be taken, blessed, broken, and given. Here's what I like to share with people about communion. It is the visible word. It is the visible word. We see it. And so often the visible word, and also the tastable word, if that's a word at all, the visible word and that which we taste, can so often reach those places and areas in our life that the spoken word cannot reach. Sometimes through this sacrament, things happen we didn't know would happen. Because why? Because this is the body and blood of Christ. This is the nourishment that we need for our soul. This is the means of grace by which we stay connected to God, the medicine for our sickness of sin. It is the nourishment for our spiritual muscles. It is the means of grace. It is the way that God gives Himself to us through Jesus Christ. And I always like to say this. We're reminded about how much we're loved. And every time we're reminded of how much we're loved, a miracle takes place. Sometimes that miracle is physical, sometimes it's emotional, but always there's a miracle. And the greatest miracle is spiritual. For the image of God to be made new again in our lives. The image of God that's been scarred and marred to become renewed in our lives. To know how much we're loved, always a miracle takes place. We receive whatever it is we need in order to become a more faithful follower of Jesus Christ. We have not been called to do work that we cannot do, but we have been called to do work that we cannot do apart from God's grace. And so here we receive that grace. And so we are to constantly take communion, John Wesley said. Always avail yourself of the opportunity to commune. Because every time we come to the communion table, we're becoming perfected in His love. And so now, what's the preparations for it? Simple. Only three. That you repent of your sin. That you desire to follow Jesus. And that you're willing to receive whatever it is that God wants to give you today. Those are the only requirements. So now we come to the invitation. And may the invitation be placed on the screen. Christ invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now let us stand for the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth you formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. When rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, you bore up the ark on the waters, saved Noah and his family, and made covenant with every living creature on earth. When you led your people to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, you gave us your commandments and made us your covenant people. When your people forsook the covenant, your prophet Elijah fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And on your holy mountain, he heard your still small voice. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. When you gave him to save us from our sin, your Spirit led him into the wilderness, where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights to prepare for his ministry. When he suffered and died on the cross for our sin, you raised him to life, presented him alive to the apostles during 40 days, and exalted him at your right hand. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Now, when we, your people, prepare for the yearly feast of Easter, you lead us to repentance for sin and the cleansing of our hearts, that during these 40 days of Lent we may be gifted and graced to reaffirm the covenant you made with us through Christ. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. Gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, I invite those to come forward who will be helping to serve.